Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to welcome to our microphones once again, Michaela Dodge. She is a senior policy analyst in the defense and strategic policy area of the Heritage Foundation's National Security and Foreign Policy Shop, the Davis Institute. We are very pleased to have her with us. She is a recent survivor, I think it's fair to say, of a program on National Public Radio, but we wanted to talk with her about another NPR, the Nuclear Posture Review, and it's great to have her with us. Thank you so much, Michaela, for taking a few moments.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Michaela, we understand from a leaked version of the NPR that it is brimming with very impressive changes in policy direction from those of the Obama administration. Our friend Bill Gertz, as a matter of fact, called it an explicit repudiation of the Obama policies with respect to nuclear forces. First of all, what do we make of this leaked document? Do you think it is the real deal? And how would you characterize what's in it? And, well, for that matter, what's not?
So I do think it's the real deal, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more changes from the final document. I think the outlines will hold. I do not think it's, there is actually a great deal of continuity, or seems to be a great deal of continuity between previous NPRs and the current NPR, particularly as far as it concerns the endorsement of the nuclear triad. The major, major difference is this NPR's recognition that Russia and China are strategic threats that the United States has to deal with. So the Obama administration said that Russia was no longer an adversary and that the potential for conflict was low, and that clearly does not hold, and even the Obama administration recognized it towards the end of the tenure after invasion of Ukraine. But that is, I think, one of the largest changes that will inform U.S. nuclear posture.
Well, let me push back on that for a moment, because I think you're right. The Obama NPR and policies sort of paid lip service to the strategic triad and the need to maintain it and all that. But in practice, isn't it fair, Michaela, to say that what they really believed, what they sought as a matter of state policy, was ridding the world of nuclear weapons? And they were so intent on that that to a considerable degree, there was really a disconnect between the policy of continuity, as you've described it, with previous administrations and now that the Trump administration is following, and sort of the embrace of some of the most woolly-headed thinking on nuclear disarmament that that we've seen, certainly since the Carter administration.
I want to be fair here, because you are right that, you know, the administration elevated the goal of nuclear zero. It adopted the assumption that others will follow if we reduce, perhaps unilaterally. But on the other hand, the nuclear modernization program that the Trump administration inherited and I think will work hard to continue is continuation of the nuclear triad, continuation of dual capable aircraft, B-61 modernization program, the long-range standoff missile. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, I guess.
Well, that's that is fair praise. I'm damning, I'm afraid, but nonetheless, faint praise. Let me ask you then, Michaela, one particular area of concern for me, and I think for you for many years, and certainly for the other Van Cleve folks, is the failure to modernize the nuclear weapons themselves in our arsenal, or for that matter, even to test it. Now, I mentioned that you were on National Public Radio the other day, and I caught a bit of the exchange between you and a number of others who were very much opposed to what the president is proposing to do with his national security strategy and with this NPR. But specifically, the issue was, should we ever, engage in underground nuclear testing again. And I think you made the pretty important point that you do have to conduct realistic experimentation if you want to be sure that these things work, especially if you're changing them to try to maintain them for many, many years past their design life. But would you talk a little bit about both the importance of modernizing what goes on those various platforms, as well as what we need to do to make sure that that kind of capability, as well as what it's replacing, is still viable?
So the draft NPR says that the United States will not test nuclear weapons unless we find a major problem in the existing arsenal. And again, that's a continuation of U.S. post-Cold War policy, including the Obama administration. You know, our stockpile approach during the Cold War was just so fundamentally different from what we do today. And it is problematic because we, as we sort of depart from the tested envelopes, we are not sure where those margins of uncertainty are. And sometimes we have to depart in manner that is quite significant. So, for example, you cannot find the same materials, so you have to recreate them differently. And there is a certification process designed to ensure that it will not significantly impact performance of the warheads, but that uncertainty is still there and is increasing. And that's where you could have low yield experiments, which actually laboratory directors wanted to do in late 90s during the CTBT debate. So the current policy where you cannot conduct any experiments was not the best technical judgment. It was a policy call. And I think that part is problematic.
Let me ask you finally, and you've written about this at the Heritage Foundation, Michaela Dodge, about the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which I think is now widely understood has been violated by the Russians. You call for scrapping it, as I had a small hand in the negotiation of that and then opposed it because I thought the Russians would violate it. Talk a little bit about what we need to be doing rather than be bound by that now violated accord.
So the problem with the INF treaty is that the United States is the only party to the treaty that is bound by its terms. And the Russians went from testing prohibited cruise missile to mass producing it, to deploying it. And they continue to deploy it as if there was no restrictions on these types of systems. And so, you know, bureaucracies being what they are, I thought, if we have INF treaty, the inclination will always be to say, I am going to focus on problems that I can do something about, as opposed to something that's supposedly resolved in the arms control process. And I think we've seen a little bit of that in that we have not been able to come up with any meaningful, significant response to Russian violations that, you know, have now been going on for almost a decade. And that was that ability to limit our knowledge about these systems, ability to think through benefits of these systems, potential deployment of these systems, I thought that was very damaging in the context of the treaty. That's why I proposed to scrap it.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. Michaela Dodge at the Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for the work you do. It is always a delight to talk with you. I hope we'll do so often in 2018. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Kevin Freeman joins us. We'll talk about the darkest hour, messages for our time, and what is up with Chinese economic warfare at the moment, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.